this morning. And it's time for Wine O'Clock. We have special guests in the studio. Our regular is Neil Williams. And, of course, we have the privileged attendance of the chairman, Paul White, of the International Cool Climate Show, and which was operated on, we've been going for some time, with many, many tastings happening, with over 700 wines entered this year, including those from all over Australia, New Zealand, France, Italy and Austria. And there was a 24% increase over 2017, which is marvellous. A huge increase, Paul. And there were some 466 wines received medals, with 42 gold medals awarded across 36 classes. And Tasmania achieving 10 gold medals, which is surpassing New Zealand, which got only 8. And for the first time, there was 150 Pinot Noirs, there was 122 Chardonnays, 44 Pinot Grigios, 39 Sauvignon Blancs, and 105 Shiraz and Shiraz. So finally, ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to Paul White, the chairman of the International Cool Climate Show, and our normal host, Neil Williams. Good morning, guys. How are we?
I'm going well. How are you, Paul?
I'm excellent, thank you. After a great day here today.
Good job. Fantastic. Yesterday as well as last week.
Yeah, Neil, you attended the wine show as in the awards dinner on Friday night. That was an excellent evening. The food was superb. The Mornington Race Club did a fantastic job on that. And we had all the trophies and the gold medals presented on the night.
We did, and there were plenty of people there. And as you said, more people, and as William was saying, more people who put in this year. The entries were up. And I thought that the standard was very impressive. The good ones were absolutely superb, and we did our best to sample as many of those as possible.
Fair enough. Now, the awards, it takes a lot of infrastructure to put these type of shows together, and I was overawed with the amount of work that's involved. But it's great having a great team of the committee of management, the stewards that all helped out, and we had quite a few new stewards coming in from Melbourne this year to help us out.
Yeah, and the people doing the waiting, they were...
From William Angus?
William Angus, and doing trainees, and they did a superb job there, and well organised, and it was great to see them expanding their knowledge on the whole area too.
Neil, we were able to keep two bottles to the table.
Yes.
That was a difficult one.
Yeah, it was. But we worked as a bit of a team on the table. We had a couple of members from the local food and wine.
Frankston Food and Wine Show, was it?
Correct. And we worked together and had a very good sampling. And of course, later on there was a special sampling after the dinner. If you'd missed out on a couple of the trophy winners later on, they were really nice too. So we got to have a great one. We'll probably mention some of the winners soon, but I was very pleased seeing the LG Park and the Merrick General Store sponsor this segment. It was nice to see them pick up some awards too, which was great to see.
Always been a great supporter of RPPFM.
They have, and I'm not sure if Steve getting an ad ready for it, which should probably be out by next Tuesday, Lawrence and the girls are down there. But the LG Park Chardonnay won the best Peninsula White, and the Merrick's Estate Shiraz won the best Peninsula Red, and they're both available down at the Merrick's General Store. If you can't find them anywhere else, you probably can't, because I think they sort of channel them out through there. But they were both terrific. I thought. Your thoughts on those?
Yeah, look, there was. It's great to look at the Mornington Peninsula wines coming together and actually, one, attending the show,
yep,
and two, achieving awards like
yep.
this. And having the top Mornington Peninsula White at LG and the top Mornington Peninsula Red from Merrick's, great contributors to the International Cool Climate Wine Show, always have been
yep.
great supporters.
Indeed, there were a couple other interesting ones. The People's Choice, now you better explain how that happened. I think that was from the tasting that we mentioned last week on the Tuesday night. I think that's where the People's Choice Awards came from, if
yeah,
I'm not
the
mistaken.
People's Choice is voted on that evening. Yeah. I think there was over 150 people there. Once again, a great number, not too crowded, but definitely we took a few VIP tours around at 6 o'clock. We had 30 people, which we capped at the VIP tasting, and they had a good half an hour with myself and also Jane, Ellison, Jane Hotter, should I say, from Italy, that took around the group as well.
Yeah.
And that was great.
And the winners there were a Nazare estate with their Bengals Pinot.
Yes.
And they're down sort of, I suppose, halfway between Flinders and Cape Shank there, and they were there on the night, and Broad Smiles and Hickenbottom from Dramana, their Tempranillo. There's a few Tempranillos just starting to spring up on the bench.
Well, they're becoming very popular. Normally Riaggio in Spain is famous, obviously,
for
Tempranillo.
Absolutely, Riaggio in place, and oh, Dutchie, do they have some...
They have some stunning wine.
Fantastic, yeah.
So, yeah, so they're basically voted on the evening, and there was a dead heat or draw for both the Pound Beats from Nazare and also Andrew Higginbotham's wines. They both had a dead heat, and rather than make a deciding casting vote, I decided to give two awards.
Why not?
Why not? That's right.
You're very generous. Very generous.
Is it worth talking a bit about the sparkling wine? A couple of categories here. You've got your non-vintage one and the vintage one. And the non-vintage one was dominated by Colettes, really, from A in France, or in France, which is about, let's say, an hour to the east of Paris. They had four or five absolute rippers there, didn't they?
Oh, they are excellent wines. I mean, they had actually freighted those wines over at a significant cost, as you could imagine, in euros. And it's great to see this international aspect of the wine show coming together and them taking out those two classes. One was the best non-vintage sparkling, and then they took out the best international white wine.
Yeah, and they're very good, probably four or five, the top four or five in that non-vintage sparkling category were all theirs.
Yes.
And I've done a bit of research because you've got people want to say, oh, where can you get it? You're going to struggle. You're going to have to get it online. You might get it through Nick's or somewhere like that online. You're not going to get it much locally around here.
No.
But it's one to file away. Colette, quite a famous name. It's famous in the local cricket area. We've got a Colette family who are very good cricketers.
Oh, right.
No connection at all to them. I know them quite well, and they're not going to be making any wine anytime soon.
And also Prosecco's. Also Prosecco's. There was a bronze went to Symphony and King Valley Prosecco, and which I imagine would be quite delicious, very dry, I would imagine.
Yeah, look, the Italians, and I say that that they're great. I've got a lot of friends that are Italians. We spent a lot of time together, and that that area up there at King Valley is just, you know, there's a couple of other wards we'll look at shortly, and they really encapsulate those Proseccos in that region.
And the vintage sparkling was Piri from Tasmania, which is a Brown Brothers one, sitting up on the magnificent, the greatest view they've got of the Tamar River there. Absolutely stunning. I was there in February, and fantastic wines all the way through. I'm not surprised that the Piri won the best sparkling. So a Tasmanian one.
Tasmanian make great product.
Out. They've got the King Valley.
Exactly.
They've got Tamar Ridge.
I remember many years ago I had a hotel in Hobart, and Tassie wines we supported wholeheartedly because their product was great. Like their Rieslings, for example, from the north of Tassie, which was fantastic. And I'm looking at the top gold medal for Riesling 2016 or older, and Patrick of Coonawarra with their age Riesling 2012. That's unusual. I sort of don't envisage Riesling from Coonawarra.
They've got a little bit. As you know, I was there a couple of weeks ago. Got a little bit, and sometimes I'll source it from closer to Mount Gambier. And there are a few wines that actually came from Mount Gambier region, another one from Mount Benson, which is near Robe, within an hour of the Coonawarra area. So there are a couple there that picked them up. There was a great rosé, which I managed to buy a couple when I was over there just by chance. And then the Mount Benson one, which is probably a winery that people won't have heard of because doesn't have a cellar door, but geez, stunning wine.
Again, White Rock Vineyard in Tasmania, again, got a bronze medal.
Yep.
As well as the, now from Victoria, Alinda Yarra Valley Riesling 2016, also received a bronze medal, which is great.
Now, yeah, to me, I'm glad you mentioned the Arabelle, because to me one of the big stories there is Suma, which was the top wine last year, and it also had picked up an award this year too. Fantastic. They've only been going since 2012, husband and wife team, and they're starting to really churn out some great stuff. They're on the, if you're driving along the highway area there towards Healesville, they're up on that left-hand side, up in the hills, not far from Coldstream Hills.
And, Dimitri's doing a fantastic job there. Yeah. I had the privilege of giving him a ring and saying that he's taken out the top gold. He was so excited. but it's got great breadth of a nice little broadness, lovely oak, a little bit of that toastiness there. Yeah. But for me, I like not those really vertical type Chardonnays.
Yeah.
I like them with a bit of breadth in them.
Yeah, so do I. And that certainly had one of those. Yeah, so it's not one of the, what they call the new age Chardonnay, which doesn't quite taste Chardonnay sometimes, but that was a very impressive wine from Suma.
What I'm fascinated...
Sumah, for those people taking notes.
Right, and what I'm fascinated is obviously the Sauvignon Blanc class, because you notice there's New Zealand really doesn't feature much in the gold, which was won by Brown Brothers, 1889 Sauvignon Blanc from Tasmania, 2017. Tell me about that one, Paul.
That's an interesting wine. We had that at the Masterclass yesterday, at William Angliss.
Mm-hmm.
And look, to be quite honest, if you were to taste that blind, you would, in my view, 100% think it was a Marlborough, New Zealand, Sauv Blanc, but it had some beautiful characteristics. It had... I suppose beautiful mouthfeel structure, and it was just amazing, and I was shocked to see that it was a Tasmanian Sauv Blanc. As I said, if I had been tasting it blind, if I had been judging it, I would have definitely thought it was a New Zealand Sauv Blanc.
But even the Tasmanian one, the second, the silver went to Devil's Corner from Tasmania, Sauvignon Blanc 2017.
Yeah, again, a Brown Brothers. So both of those Brown Brothers, and as when I was over there in February, I mean, I will skip some of the Sauv Blancs because of some of the reasons you hinted at before. I reckon there's some ordinary stuff out there. But the fellow insisted, he said, no, look, you've really got to try them, and very, very impressive. So a cut above the standard piece of sucking on a flint. Yeah.
There's quite a few silvers in, for example, Greenstone Estate, which is Yarra Valley, again, Sauvignon Blanc 2017, Hanging Rock from Mount Macedon, and Jack Rabbit from the Ballerine Peninsula, Sauvignon Blanc.
Look, and Geelong is, that Ballerine Peninsula surf coast area is now producing some fantastic wines.
It is.
We had Scott Austin, who's the chairman of the Vignerons Association, attend on behalf of that region, and he was up and down most of the night collecting awards and golds for that particular region. Well done.
Yeah, they were good, and it's just the other side of the ferry, really. So it's all so close there.
It
and,
is.
There's some really great nice wines there from some places that a lot of people wouldn't have heard of. Jack Rabbit's only, I mean, it's got a great little restaurant, and it's not a name that's been around for years and years and years, but very nice wines.
Now, tell me about Pinot Grigio. The top gold went to Dalatite High Ground Mansfield Pinot Grigio 2017. And the gold went to Jack Rabbit again from the Ballerine Peninsula for the Pinot Grigio 2017.
And a couple of silvers, Brown Magpie, which is at Geelong.
In Geelong as well.
When you say Geelong, it's probably
Ballerine.
An hour southwest of Geelong itself, but it's certainly in the Ballerine section.
Yes.
And Villa Maria, which picked up a couple of awards during the night for their Marlborough Pinot Gris as well. I had a little sip of that one, and I thought it was very good. I didn't get a chance to catch up on the Dalatite, but no doubt you have.
Yes, I spoke to David once again, David Ritchie up there, who was very thrilled. They were just finishing vintage when they were able to get their wines in for this year's show, and obviously receive top gold for his Pinot Grigio. He was very impressed. Look, great characteristics once again, that nice minerality to it. and nice little bit of depth too, because sometimes you find them a little bit shallow.
Yeah.
But great depth, good mouthfeel, good structure.
Mm. And of course, Matins Creek from Matins Creek Estate, I should say, Heartbreak Hill Pinot Gris, 2017, that won a bronze medal. And Red Hill Estate Mornington Peninsula for the Cool Climate Pinot Grigio 2017.
Yeah, look, a lot of people get confused about this Gris and Grigio.
Yes.
One's French, the Gris French name, the Grigio's Italian, and they both mean grey.
Yeah, they're both good, and the difference might be 3 weeks in when you pick them.
Pick them, correct, yeah. That's spot on.
That's about it, so about the level of Beaumet, the sugar content in the grapes makes a difference between whether it's a Grigio and a Gris.
Indeed.
And it's often a personal choice, or the like winemakers, of course, know their area, they're getting a bit of experience and say, no, that's going to work for that parcel of grapes there, and... But you're right that it is sometimes the difference is very subtle. It might
very,
be
very subtle.
Half an hour difference in the picking sometimes when you taste the two of them together.
And Paul, Class 12, Chardonnay, one of my favourites. Suma from the Yarra Valley again.
Between here and nine on that, could, I reckon.
Oh, definitely.
It is.
Yeah. One of the ones that, the Suma was excellent, but just quickly, one of the ones, the A Rotter, which is the Baxendale Vineyard Chardonnay, which is by Adam Rodder there. Now, if you don't know Adam was previously with David Bicknell at Oak Ridge.
Okay.
And he did the 864 Chardonnay, which is their premium Chardonnay, which I'm sure you know.
Absolute
Neil.
Cracker that, yeah. 864, it's been renowned for years and years and years. So I'm very interested to hear that he's associated with the Rodder one.
Yes, Adam, or Adrian, should I say, Rodder, shifted up to Beechworth some years ago, but he was initially doing with David the 864 Chardonnay, and you know that David Bicknell, you know, with Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, is probably one of the leaders in Australia in that class.
But also, he got gold with the Charles Stewart University, Tarumba Chardonnay 2017, which I think is fascinating.
Oh, they were absolutely delighted.
Yes,
I bet
they were. Yes.
Great characteristics.
Light oak? Or
yeah, light oak, but still having that characteristics of a Chardonnay, not overly bodied, but just a nice structured Chardonnay.
And silver went to Matins Creek, who stayed from Mornington Peninsula on the hillside block Chardonnay.
Once again, a lovely wine.
It is a delightful wine.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Nice little spot. If people haven't been to Matins Creek, they've done it up just recently. I think they've just got themselves open. But you can go down there, pleasant restaurant, an interesting range of tasting that they have. They've got a red they've pulled down from Heathcote, which is very nice as well. But they picked up a couple of medals along the way, and that one in particular, very nice. Matins Creek Estate, Mornington Peninsula. It's at Red Hill, and you wind your way down. I've forgot the exact name of the road there. I'll look that up before the end of the day. But that very very nice.
The other one that I like to drop past is Pier 10.
Yeah.
Great range of wines.
They do.
You know, they've got a Sangiovese. They've got a whole range of. They also got a Heathcote Shiraz. And Craig there.
And a couple of interesting sparklings that are coming on quite nicely.
Craig is a great guy that talks to you and is passionate about the job. Mm. Ex from the Cerberus.
Right.
He was from Cerberus.
Right, that's
where
he
started.
Really? Oh, wow. Fascinating. Also, Baluen got a silver medal, Baluen from Mornington Peninsula.
That one is available at Merrick's General Store. I know because I was there only a week or two ago and... very good. So both the Beaulieu one and the LG Park one made locally by one of the, Geraldine McFalls is absolutely fantastic winemaker out of Willow Creek. And
they have been trophies before.
Oh, quite regularly. She must have a room full of trophies now, I'd say, Geraldine.
Definitely.
Absolutely fantastic. But so there are, I reckon there's about five down, and I think plugging LG Park and Merrick's General Store because they're supporting this this segment, but there's about five down there who picked up medals of some kind.
But Neil, they produce fantastic wine, so
they
why
do.
Not?
Yeah, they do. It's always a good day down there.
Indeed, even in Class 13, which was for Chardonnay, the Black Wattle, the icon Chardonnay from Mount Benson.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. It doesn't have a... Dottingale, I think's the winemaker's name, and doesn't have a cellar door there, but every now and then he'll pop something into something like the Cool Climate Wine Show, because being a small one, they often kind of, like that, they've got to be very careful of how many shows they go to, otherwise all your wine goes to show, you've got nothing left. So he's picked out one, very nice, a good area down there. Cape Jaffa is probably the most well-known winery there. Mm-hmm. And he's just down the road from them, and good quality stuff.
They have been trophy winners in the past. I think it was 3 years ago or 2 years ago, trophy winner, superb wines, one of my favourites.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
And LG Park also got a gold medal from the Mornington Peninsula and 2016 Chardonnay.
Yeah, that was the one that was the best Mornington Peninsula white. And
really?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic.
So go down there to Merrick General Store if you want to taste that one. It's the only one you'll be able to find that. In fact, the thing I like is that there are a lot of local ones, like Point Leo Estate, which is only brand new, only really hasn't even been open for 12 months.
No.
They had three or four of their wines, Chardonnay, a Pinot and a Pinot Gris, that picked up medals. And when you go there and you go and wander around and have a look at all the sculptures in the sculpture park, which is a very nice, pleasant stroll.
It is indeed.
The idea is you go in there, you pick out a glass of your favourite wine, you take it with you and you have a wander around, then you can come back and have something to eat. And it's nice to see that family opening up that, which was really a private estate up till 12 months ago.
Now, the winemaker there at Point Leo.
Yeah, and I'm...
Do you know?
I did, and it's escaping me at the moment. You might have it.
I think, as my understanding, it's a guy called Todd Dexter.
Correct.
Who you may know.
Yes, who's probably got some of the most famous Pinot Noirs going around.
Not a bad Chardonnay either?
No, very good Chardonnay, but I can see their Pinots in times to come just getting better and better and better.
Totally agree.
As he gets used to that area.
Tarara and that area.
Correctly, so, but no, you're right, Todd Dexter, it's a superb winemaker in the area.
The other one I'd like to just mention was Charmin's wines from Tasmania.
Yes.
Now, I've known this winemaker and the, I think it was Ian down there, the owner, and he's been going for, I'd say, I don't know, maybe 10 or so years. Excellent wine, great structure, great mouthfeel. Just a nice overall wine that I'd highly recommend if anybody hasn't had Charmin's wine. They're in the Tamar Valley, well worth looking at.
Yeah, they're sort of what you might loosely call, I think the name of the town's Relbia or something like that, and it's next to Joseph Cromie, which is another fantastic wine. There's about three there, Home Oak's another one. There's about three there together.
Home Oak.
Yeah, which are absolutely superb. And Home Oak put a few in and got some very nice medals as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Another great winery to go and visit if you're over there.
Oh, yeah. Look, yeah. I mean, they're about 10 minutes apart, the three of them, and you can grab something to eat. You can go to... Worth the effort, if you're Launceston way. Not so much the Hobart area, William, where you spend some time, but around Lonnie, it's fabulous, those three. And get Charmin's, I just love their stuff.
Just one of those ones tucked away, worth a visit.
And rosés, the top gold rosé.
Came from a local guy.
Yes, tell me about that, Paul.
Look, I think it was a Pinot Noir, as I believe a Pinot Noir, grape used in that.
Yeah.
Not too long on the skins, but it definitely had some lovely red fruit in the wine. It was what I would find, maybe it was a little hot, but the alcohol might have been a little bit up there, but overall a lovely wine.
But that's the way they do too. It's John and Julie Truman are the makers at Mattesi, and I'm pretty sure I've pronounced it the way they want us to pronounce it, Mattesi in Main Creek Road there. They originally set up and planted a whole lot of Cabernets and things like that, which wouldn't ripen. So then they end up with Pinot, Chardonnay, and the interesting thing is, if you go and talk to him, he said, "Well, we just make it the way we like it. We've got plenty of oak, plenty of flavour, and the rosé made to be drunk, chilled in summer, which is why sometimes when it's not as cold, a couple of people say, oh, it's a bit of heat in it, like yours.
A bit broad, yeah.
But,
yes,
but
yes.
Gee whiz, for people who love rosé, and that's made a massive comeback, would you?
Great,
huge. It's obviously the last 2 years.
Fantastic
one. Fantastic.
97 points. Top even, gold. Not just gold, but top gold.
Even we produced a rosé called Miss Bond and from
yes.
Boney on the Mornington Peninsula. And it's again very soft, very rounded, and that sort of super pale colour, which was quite appealing.
Well, it's that family, isn't it? The French has really dictated the colour. They're no longer those higher red colours. They're more that salmon colour. And Neil, you mentioned that that the wine was
a bit hot. Oh, but the rosé we're talking about?
Rosé, sorry. And you mentioned that you need to have them cold.
Yes,
that's
chilled.
Totally chilled. You
yes.
need to have rosés chilled.
Yeah.
If you get them warm, they have that broadness in the palate. You're better off having them chilled.
And most of them are made that way. If you look at the the better ones,
they are.
Around the place, or even that's the way to go. And like the Barossa, have a few. And but that has made the great comeback. I know you're trying to get to another one there.
Yes, the Pinot Noir, Class 21. Oh, I'm just looking at our time, chaps.
Right.
So let's just quickly look at the Pinot Noir. The winner this year, the top gold medal, was Dovetail Vineyards, Yarra Valley, Pinot Noir 2017.
Look, we had this at the masterclass again yesterday. It is about $22 a Dan, so an
if
unbelievable price.
If you can get it.
If you can get it, it's moved along there quite well. But I think it had a slight stalkiness to it, which I didn't mind, a slight reductiveness, but the reductiveness was in balance across the board.
Yeah.
It tastes like there was maybe some whole bunch in there, but it's always difficult. Yeah. It is obviously produced at a price and from the Yarra Valley, but I love the wine as a Pinot, and they've done a great job putting that together.
I thought it was interesting. I tried a few Pinots on the night, and they're all very good, and really it also showed that the difference between a silver, a gold, and the top gold is just minimal, you know. But the couple, then you put them side by side. Like for instance, the Badia one was one example, or the Home Hill from Tassie.
Yes.
Put them side by side, and you go, oh yeah, it's just a fraction better.
Yes.
And then you get up to the Dovetail, it's just a fraction better. But the difference, I mean, if you hadn't tasted the other one and you had it with your meal, you'd have been very,
right,
very happy with all of those. They were superb.
And Neil, as you understand, judging a wine, you tend to look at some faults. You tend to try to pick things out. But as an overall wine, that although I may have been a little bit critical with it, I think it was just well balanced and well structured for the wine.
And that was one that needed to be opened.
Yes, totally agree.
Wait an hour before you touch it. Sometimes you can just toss them into the glass, but wait an hour before you touch it. I reckon Pinots are becoming more and more like that, wouldn't you?
Paul, we're obviously looking out of time. We've been on air now for chatting about this, but we're going to create a separate show on RPPFM, which is going to be called the 1 o'clock show, which is separate from what we're doing here at breakfast, and we can go into far more depth with wines from all around Australia and the world. So
at the moment, we're going to do it for now until things settle in. But
settle in.
That's where we're going.
Just very quickly, and again, mindful of time, we've got the top Cabernet, and for top gold came from Blue Pyrenees Estate, Cabernet Sauvignon 2015, and the Glenlofty wines again from Pyrenees, obviously a great area for Cabernet Sauvignon 2012, that won a gold. Blue Pyrenees again, Richardson Reserve Cabernet Sauvignon 2013, and the silver went to, Brangania of Orange in a Cabernet Sauvignon again, just that very quickly. Just in Merlot's Villa Maria Hawke's Bay. Won a gold medal, and Shaw's Vineyard Estate, Cabernet Merlot, 2016, and the silver went to Art Winnie, Adelaide Hills, again the Doghouse Merlot, 2017. And going through Red Blends, where Shaw Estate again won the Canberra Winemaker Selection, Cabernet Merlot, 2015.
And there's another class next to that, the Class 29, the Grampians Estate GST, which was Grenache, Shiraz and Tempranillo, picked up a gold, 95 points. Very interesting wine, that one. Very interesting wine from the Grampians.
And Shiraz, the top goal went to Flinders Island Wines, the Straitsman's Shiraz. Flinders
yeah,
Island,
look,
now that's unusual.
I'd like to spend just a little bit of time on
definitely,
this.
Yeah.
This Straitsman's Shiraz is made by Andrew Higginbotham here.
Mm-hmm.
There is a Matt Dillon over there on Flinders Island in the old...
it is the old... Oh, it'll come to me in a minute, the old factory over there.
Oh, yes.
But it is, this winery is surrounded by tea tree.
Mm.
And in the wine, it has that little bit of spearmint character just flows through just slightly, just a touch. Limestone base rock, fully netted due to the wallabies getting there and eating all the berries and the fruit and also the young vines that they've put together. Extremely windy, north-south facing winery. Shiraz is that the vines are about 15 years of old age, but look, I think the boys over there at Flinders Island have done a fantastic job. People have been asking me how do they get hold of this wine.
Good question.
And Matt, I'm going to give your phone number out because that's the only way you can get it. There's not too much traffic going across over there. But Matt Dillon, his mobile is 0409 35 3722. Matt, you're doing a fantastic job over there with Andrew. Congratulations from all of us here.
Yeah,
gentlemen,
please.
Thank you very much for coming in. Paul White, thank you very much indeed for coming
in.
And we'd like to make you part of our regulars in our conversation about wines from Australia and around the world. And, of course, my old buddy over there, Neil, thank you, mate, for coming in today. That's very kind of you. I'm sorry to cut you short because we're very mindful of the time and because we've got 10 minutes to go before we finish. So we'll see you next Tuesday,
absolutely,
same time, again.
And of course, if you miss it or if one of your friends miss it, there will be a podcast available. You go to RPPFM, Eye on the Peninsula, and you'll see Wine O'Clock. There'll be podcasts up from tomorrow.
Gentlemen, thank you again for coming in
my
today.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.